Well, good evening. It has been a very busy day for many of us, but we have made it back around here, and tonight we have another opportunity to worship and serve God. We are going to look at the lyrics of the song Holy, Holy, Holy tonight. And in your songbook, it is song number 47. So if you'd like to get your songbook out and look at the lyrics, we'll be studying about these lyrics this evening. You know, this song, Holy, 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 is a song that's based on the scripture. And specifically, Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3, and also Revelation chapter 4. And so as we think about this song, and it's a beautiful song, we have sung it for years. Just about everyone knows this song, I believe. It is a song that emphasizes, of course, the holiness of God. But it's a song that calls us to worship God and to think about who God is. The song was written by Reginald Heber in 1826, and there are many scriptural thoughts that I would like for us to consider tonight. The first stanza of Holy, Holy, Holy is one that is based on Isaiah 6, and let's just read 1 through 3, because this is the whole premise of the song here in Isaiah 6. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So this is the basis for the writing of this song. And Reginald Heber was a man who understood the scriptures very well. As we see the lyrics of this song unfold, we'll notice very specifically that it reflects several verses in the Bible in different ways. Let's look at this first stanza. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Now, some songs change the lyrics of that last phrase, and they say, God over all and blessed eternally, but these are the original lyrics that Mr. Heber wrote in 1826, which I believe are scriptural lyrics. But we think about this song, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And God is certainly holy, and he's certainly mighty. In fact, when we look at the scriptures, it teaches us that he created everything that there is, and that is certainly a might beyond any might that we know. This first stanza talks about early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. And morning, the idea of morning here, sometimes we use that in reference to the morning worship hour, but it can mean any morning in beginning our day with God. We see that this phrase, early in the morning, happens repeatedly in the scriptures. In fact, if you just go and get a Bible concordance online, you can go to one of those online Bibles and search the Bible for early morning. There are numerous scriptures that have activities going on early in the morning. And I'm just going to list a few of them tonight, not all of them, but here's a few. Abraham rose early in the morning to see God's work in Genesis 19 and verse 27. Jacob rose early in the morning to worship God in Genesis 28, 18. Moses rose early in the morning to rebuke Pharaoh in Exodus 8 and verse 20. Joshua rose early in the morning before the crossing of the Jordan River, Joshua 3 and verse 1, and of course, one with which you're familiar and we all know around this time of the year, especially, is that Jesus was raised from the dead early in the morning, according to Mark 16, 2 and Luke 24 and verse 1. And so there's something about doing things early in the morning in reference to God that is honored in the scripture. So early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. And our song is to praise him for who he is, the Lord God Almighty, who is both merciful and mighty. In Exodus 34, 6 and 7, this is another passage, I believe, that this hymn writer is referencing here in this first stanza. That passage says, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin." And so God is merciful and he is mighty. There's no one like him. He is beyond all. And we'll talk about this idea of him being unique and incomparable in our third point tonight. But then this idea of God in three persons, blessed Trinity. This isn't three gods, but rather one God who has three persons. Now that's a difficult concept for us to understand because we typically think one being, one person, right, is the idea. And we think that people who have more than one personality, you know, there may be a problem there or an issue there. But God has three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is borne out in the scriptures. In Mark chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11, there Jesus comes to be baptized by John. And as he's being baptized by John, the Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove, and then out of the clouds a voice is heard, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so you have the Father speaking, "This is my beloved Son," the Son, Jesus, being baptized, and the Holy Spirit coming down upon Jesus. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three. And of course, we're familiar with Matthew 28, 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so all three persons of the Godhead are honored in this song. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. So this song, first of all, discusses the Almighty God and who he is. He is to be worshiped early and first and made a priority. He is merciful and mighty, and he is the God who exists in three persons. But then secondly in this song, we see that the creature is made to praise the Creator. Look at this second stanza, if you will, of "Holy, Holy, Holy." It says, "All the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea." Some versions say the crystal sea. "Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shalt be." This language comes directly from Revelation 4. And so let's turn over to Revelation 4 for just a moment and look at the text there. Revelation 4 is based on Isaiah 6, the same figure is, the same picture is seen in Revelation 4 that is in Isaiah 6. But we have here the picture of God who is beautiful, he is honored, and he is worshiped by all. And so as we're reading through Revelation 4, specifically notice verse 6, before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. So there's the glassy sea that this stanza discusses. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. And then they're described. And they don't rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And there's part of the stanza right there of holy, holy, holy. And so this particular stanza mentions the cherubim and the seraphim. And Isaiah 6 talks about the living creatures being seraphim. And then there's other passages that discuss cherubim. And they are created beings that God made to honor him and to praise him. This stanza also talks about God being worthy of our praise. When we think about God being worthy of our praise, look at Revelation 4 and verse 11. It says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Psalm 18 and verse 3 says, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." And so God is worthy of our praise. All the saints adore thee, it says in this stanza. And here, this is the picture of the 24 thrones. Look at verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And this stanza also talks about casting down their golden crowns around the crystal sea, right? Well, it comes directly from Revelation 4 here, because that's what these elders do when they bow down to worship God. Look at verse 9. It says, "When the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne." And so they cast their golden crowns down before his throne. And that's what this stanza in Holy, Holy, Holy is describing, this very scene here in Revelation 4. And it's a scene of worship, a scene of praise, a scene that demonstrates that the creature is made to praise and to honor the Creator. And so we see that God is worthy, that he is worthy of all of our praise, regardless of whatever it is, even the golden crown that one may have, that is to be cast down before him. It is nothing in the presence of God. And so the creature must praise the Creator. And the third stanza teaches us that there is none that compares to God. And there's some interesting thoughts in this stanza also that demonstrates, you know, the author really knew the Bible when he wrote this song, because there's some passages in the Bible that go along with some of these ideas here. But the third stanza says, "Holy, holy, holy, though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy. There is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love, and purity." So let's think about this first idea. Though the darkness hide thee. And this is an interesting idea because, you know, the Bible talks about some people approaching God and God being in thick darkness. Look, for example, at Genesis 15 and verse 12. Here, Abraham was offering or was making a covenant with God. And when God came down to make the covenant with Abraham, at least in this chapter, it says, "Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him." Now that's an interesting expression. Great darkness fell upon him. And that darkness is reflected, you know, in this stanza. That same darkness was present when God gave his law to the children of Israel. In Exodus 20 and verse 21, it says that the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. And so God dwells in this thick darkness. And that darkness that surrounds him is symbolic of the separation that exists between him and us. And that's the fundamental aspect of holiness, right? The word holy means one who is separate, one who has been set apart and separate. And God is ultimately holy. And so when we think about God's holiness, we think about one who is eternally separate from us. And in many ways, God is a great mystery to us. Now, God has revealed to us his word. He has revealed to us what we need to know. But that is only a very small portion of what we know about God. And so God dwells in the thick darkness. Now, this is also from 1 Kings 8 and verses 10 through 12 when the temple was dedicated. It says, "And it came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place that the cloud," and this is God coming down on the temple, "the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon spoke." Listen to what Solomon said here in verse 12. "The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud." Now, I'm not sure where Solomon got that. I don't know if God revealed it directly to Solomon or if Solomon got it from, you know, Exodus 20 or something. I'm not sure. But, you know, that is consistent with what God did with Abraham, what he did with the children of Israel when he gave the law, and when he came to live in the temple. There's a darkness. "Though the darkness hide thee," the author of this song says. And that is so consistent with Scripture. And it's interesting and fascinating that he would do that. But that's part of his holiness. "Though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see." And sin is what separates man from God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God that he will not hear." Sin is what separates us from God. And sin keeps us separate from God in this life. No one has seen God at any time. John said, he wrote in John 1 and verse 18. But then he said this, "The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So even though God dwells in the thick darkness, we do not have to be ignorant of him. Even though the eye of sinful man, his glory may not see, we can still worship him and praise him through Jesus Christ. "Thou alone art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power and love and purity." And God is perfectly holy, he's perfectly loving, he's perfectly powerful, All of his attributes that he has are perfect. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Exodus 15 and verse 11. Psalm 113 verse 5 says, who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high? And the answer to that question is none. None are like him. They're not even close, because he is incomparable. There is none that compares to God. And then our final stanza says this, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. All thy works shall praise thy name. And that's what the scriptures teach. Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And Psalm 148 is a psalm that we sing often. You may not recognize it as being Psalm 148, but we sing it quite a bit. And I think when we read through it, you'll recognize the song if you look at Psalm 148 and read through it with me. So let's look at Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all ye peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. So you recognize that song, right? Let them praise his, give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, right? And his glory is exalted. So you see, that song comes directly from Psalm 148, right here in the Bible. And we sing that. But notice the emphasis in this psalm upon all God's works praise him, right? Praise him from the heavens, the heights, the angels, the hosts, the moon, the stars of light, the heaven of heavens, and the waters above the heavens. And then praise him from the earth. So both earth and heaven are praising God. The sea creatures, the hail, the snow, the clouds, stormy wind, mountains, hills, fruitful trees, cedars, creeping things, beasts, cattle, all the flying animals. And then, of course, kings of earth, all you peoples, princes, judges, young men, maidens, old men, and children, let them all praise the Lord. All God's creatures, all his works, praise him. And this is a great emphasis in the last stanza of this song. All thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea, right? That's right here, Psalm 148. What a great psalm this is. What a great song this is. Holy, holy, holy. And it reminds us, God is mighty, and he is worthy of our worship. The creature is made to praise the Creator. None compare to God, and all his works praise him. Well, we sing this song quite often, and so we're not going to sing it tonight unless Jamie just wants to lead it. If he wants to, he can. But we're going to go ahead and offer the invitation. Maybe you need to begin praising God in your life, actively, willingly. Tonight, you can start doing that through Jesus Christ, his Son, who has given us a way to approach us, sinful human beings, a way to approach a holy God. Through Jesus, we have that avenue. How can we make ourselves qualified to worship and to praise God? By hearing his word and believing it, repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Then and only then can we praise God through Jesus Christ as we need to praise and love him today. Would you become a Christian and be qualified to worship with us and to sing to God, holy, holy, holy? You can come and do that right now while together we stand and while we sing.